It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
About just about anything. I mean, it's a lot easier when you can clear the mind fog and you can get down to, you know, basic truths. I mean, I just need to know. Put my hand on your shoulder and I just say, whose life is this? Now, you may have some moral or reason or somebody convinced you to think a certain way about whatever, but I tell you what, whatever that way is, what you want to do with your life, are you willing to use government force to prevent somebody else from dealing with their own life as they see fit, their own body as they see fit? You know, maybe I want to ingest something, okay? Is that your right to do? I mean, what? Where does it stop? Okay, medical marijuana. No, how about just, you know, I want to party and I go want to go watch a movie marijuana. Oh, no? Why? Based on what principle? All of these questions, it's so much easier when your entire life has this mind fog of crap stripped away, and you just go, I just need to ask a question. Who is aggressing against whom? That's all I want to know. Who's the aggressor? Who's telling somebody what they can or can't do? Who is that? Then that's the person that's, you know, out of line. That's the bad guy. You know, or this guy, but he's so stupid, and he's doing, and he could possibly, and it might bring, and it might what happened. Don't mean nothing to me, okay? This person's being dumb. I don't care. Let him be dumb. As long as it doesn't affect me directly, I don't care. You know, but he might what? You know, there's all kinds of might. So you just need to, you know, freaking, you know, grow up. So here we have an option that it's going to become more common, by the way, and it's probably a lot more than you realize. You have billions, with a B, people on this planet. And there will be, and what scares me is the government doing this. You know, you have this National Organ Transplant Act of 84, which they are outlawing you have any control over your organs, but they provide for the establishment of a task force on organ transplantation that they, on your driver's license, yeah, you're the donor guy. They got in a government database whether you are, okay, organ transplant. So now what do they want to do? They want to DNA test everybody. You know, if you get arrested, DNA. You're in prison, DNA. DNA, DNA, DNA. It goes into what database? You trust that database with a government collection of everybody? Somebody looking at it and going, I mean, I remember in the 70s having movies on this. You know, I remember, you know, the guys running around there chasing them. You know, Free Jack. You know, the movie with Emilio Estevez and Mick Jagger. That was what it was all about. You know, yeah, this body I want to get for what? This is already happening, certainly in our imagination. And looks like in law since 1984, you know, it's like Big Bubba, really big time 1984. That's an apt year. So I'm going, all right, so do I just allow this to go without even addressing the concept, the idea that it's my freaking body parts? That can I contract before I even die? If not, why not? You know, who does it belong to? You know, why is it that the hospital, you know, and they'll go into a grieving family after a loved one had just died, and there's, a little girl here and somebody needs a heart, they allow you to sign here. Okay, and they sign. And if you don't, here's all the television programs and all the sitcoms and all the movies and everything, putting pressure on you're an evil, bad person if you don't want to have your loved one chopped up. And if you do, You're an evil, bad person if you want to get any kind of financial gain from it. Why? You know, somebody else gets it? Butt heads, man. Butt heads. And I'm really glad that we have Rich and Famous on to talk to us about this very issue, because your body belongs to you. BYBBTY.com. And I want to ask you, Rich, you know, are you having a positive? How long have you been doing this?
Well, I established the BIBT website this last January 2010. I put the Facebook page up a few months later. It's only been up for a few months. I've been bending the ear of my, you know, mostly family members about this idea for several years, and mentioning, you know, I ought to do this sometime, and I really wish I could do this, but I didn't, and then finally I did. So it's been just a few months, it's just me and my website and my Facebook page. There is not anything else beyond that at this point, but I want it to become something more. I want it to become a organization that can have, you know, just like these other organizations that are out there, to be able to do fundraising, to have a staff, to have legal representation, to do lobbying and fundraising and marketing, so that this idea can be spread around and some pressure can be put on politically to make a change. Now, it's my interpretation of this 1984 law that you can't make this contract while you're alive for somebody else to claim your remains after you die. I may be wrong about that. It may be somebody can come up with an interpretation saying, no, actually you can do that. Fine. That's what I need for this organization to become. Something where we have professionals doing what professionals do in professional organizations. So it's in my head, it's been around a while. You know, as far as anything tangible, as far as a website or anything else, it's just been a little while.
You know what would be a good test? Let me tell you, this is a good test. Here you go. You or anyone else, I mean, you can broker form, create the contract. Heck, I say you. You know, if you're comfortable with, I'll give up a kidney. I'll give up whatever. I'll do a little skin graft, take a little, you know, piece off my leg, whatever. You put it out there, for sale. Now, DNA test will put up, here's the code, send it off, kind of, you know, for sale. Who wants it, and see what happens. Because I know, you know, you're going to bring out the boys. I mean, there's going to be somebody saying, no, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. But, you know, you get you want to find out what the law really says, you start challenging it. I'm very interested. You start signing the contract. You take the money. You do it. And then can you enforce it? And then we're going to wait for you to die before they can enforce it? No, I'd want to do it before you die. You know, see what kind of organ you're willing to give up with right now. Because this is already happening. That's one thing. Did your research find that this is already happening?
About making contracts before death?
Yeah, no, they're selling kidneys out of poor people in poor countries around the planet.
Oh, you know, my gosh, yes. Yes, it's happening. I mean, there's all kinds of scenarios. Let's start with what's happening in China, where political prisoners are being taken apart after their death, and those organs are being sold on the open market. And who's making money? The government, or people who are in the government in China are making the money. Then there are, you know, mafia-type organizations all around the world who are doing kidnappings and murders and extortion and bribery to get people to give up parts, or just doing, you know, taking what they want.
Well, this is, you know, they have it when they execute prisoners in China. This is a big deal. They're, you know, going after, they think a lot of times, you know, their tissue linking up with others, or DNA, their whatever might have something to do who gets in front of the line for the execution. But it's amazing to me, they'll make a bunch of money on the prisoner and then still bill the family for the bullet. I'm going, oh, that's cold. And, you know, this kind of thing is just, it's a fun fundamental question that now with technology and as time goes on, that I'm glad that you brought it up. I'm not even sure how we came to know. I think there's one of the readers of Freedom's Phoenix or one of the writers, and we certainly have you up at the top of Freedom's Phoenix right now, linking to your website. But it
that
was,
would have been probably Tracy R. Twyman that put that up there on
right,
Freedom
right.
And Phoenix.
Right, and we have, you know, this just came to our attention. I go, hey, this would be an interesting topic to bring up, but it needs to be a little further down the road too. I mean, maybe you're a pioneer in this. Is there anyone else that's advocating what you are or starting this discussion?
Well, there are a few people, intellectual types, journalists, writers types that are bringing up the subject of paying people to make their body parts available. They're coming from the standpoint that there aren't enough transplant organs available for people who need them.
Oh, money will do that. We'll have a little more with Rich and Famous when we come back in just a little bit here on Declare Your Independence.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. We got Rich and Famous, or at least wants to be, because, you know, I can sell a kidney. You know, that is one thing that I can do and get rich and famous is body parts. And I, you know, couldn't possibly care less. I'd be my guest. It's yours. Do what you want. And, you know, I might need one, and I'll get it a discount from an alcoholic. You know, I would just say, you know what? You know, maybe that liver's got another couple of years on it. I mean, it's all part of the contract. You know, how much, you know, how well you got to take care of yourself. How much you get a little bonus that goes to your family, surviving family members. You get the money now, and you get a little bonus if you're healthy, if you get it in time, if you were in a car wreck and they did the, you know, legally dead brain thing. I mean, you can imagine all kinds of variations of contracts on being able to deal with your own body and its parts. I don't care. Why? Because it's not my body. Do what you want. You know, what my concern is that there are people that would say you can't. And they have the National Organ Transplant Act of 84. And what's scary is that they, right at the same time, they outlawed the sale of human organ. Of course, there's procurement costs. So there's somebody making money. You know, there's somebody getting some cash. There's somebody, you know, the doctor's not doing it for free. I mean, you know, there's somebody making some cash on this thing. So who's supporting this? Well, you got, you know, the government establishes a task force for organ transplantation and the Secretary of Health and Human Services, or HHS, whatever the heck that is, to make grants for the planning, establishment, and the operation, initially at least, of an organ procurement organization. You know, this is like I got government agents going around collecting organs. I'm wow. And then they're in charge of transplantation of it. And then we got, you know, this registry of people. You know, what do you think they're registering? Tissue types, DNA, whatever. I'm like, yeah, I want that government list. I want to be on that government list. Not, you know, maybe how about a private one? How about if I'm going to be on a list, I want some cash. Heck no. So here we have Rich and Famous. He's out there. He's trying to, you know, give it what for. So I want to ask you before I let you go. Tell me, Rich, is this something that you've seen any movement on? You got any interest from somebody in politics, candidates, it's lawmakers? You know, I mean, what are you looking for to happen?
Well, what I would look for to happen is for there to be legal recognition of a right to make decisions about what happens to your body, either while you're alive or after the time of your death. Now, as for who else is talking about this subject, I just want to mention a few people. There is a magazine called Reason. They have a website, reason.com. There is a very good article called Who Owns Your Body Parts, written by Carrie Howley, H-O-W-L-E-Y, written in March of 07. Subtitle, Everyone's Making Money in the Market for Body Tissue, Except the Donors. This is a very good primer laying out what the situation is now, who's in the chain of money here, who's operating in this murky underworld, and raising the question, why aren't people free to make their own decisions about this stuff? There are some other people who are sort of, I could describe them as libertarian in philosophy or politics. One of them is Glenn Reynolds, who does the Instapundit.com site, often posts articles about this subject. There's another writer called Virginia Postrell who has written about this subject of, look, we need more transplant organs and tissue. We need to really raise the issue of paying people to make this available. However, as far as I know, from what I've been able to read, and nobody has raised the idea of let's make it possible for you to make a contract while you're alive and get the financial benefit right now, and then, you know, you can imagine what kind of impact this could have. I mean, I was talking to Tracy R. Twyman just the other day about this, and I just pulled a number out of the air. Let's say you could make this contract today for $10,000. When I die, if it's tomorrow or 50 years from now, you can come and claim my remains, do whatever you want to them, and make whatever profit you can out of it. I've got $10,000. My spouse does the same thing. We've got $20,000 here. How many people in this economy today could take $20,000 and buy some distressed property outright or make a down payment on something or pay off a lot of bills?
Not allowed, not allowed, not allowed. I've had this same conversation. I mean, I've heard this, you know, it's already been discussed in the news, and they already decided. You're not allowed to do it because you're not allowed.
Okay.
It's bad taste because you're
well,
not
that's
allowed.
What needs to be changed, and that's what I'm advocating for. So that was to the question of who's talking about it now. Now, you also raised the question of government involvement here. One thing is being pushed very hard right now, and there's a bill in the New York legislature for something they call presumed consent. Currently, as you mentioned earlier, just about every state, they have, at the point that you go to DMV and get a driver's license, there's a check-off box. You can check and say, I consent to be an organ donor. And then you think no more about it. What is happening now is they've made the decision, well, you know, not enough people are responding to this. What we need to do now is presume consent, which means that if you do not proactively say that you are not going to be an organ donor, we're going to presume that you are, and then this all this other stuff happens, you know, government, quasi-government, NGOs, quangos, whatever you want to call them, the OPOs get involved and do what they want to do with these remains. So
it's government. They believe that you belong to them, you know, and by default. You know, of course your body belongs. Well, at least you're dead. You know, heck, we can make you dead. I think this is a far more interesting issue than I think you realize I do. And I'm glad that you brought this up. I think it is something that gets to the core of what it is to be a human, to be free, to be, do I own my body? And, you know, and I think it's great that you chose the verbiage, the wording of your site in such a way that, you know, it begs that question, you know, because your body belongs to you. And I applaud that. How's your family feel about this? Are they like, oh, man, Rich, man, he always was the weird one?
Well, as far as my immediate family, they already know how weird I am and are accepting of it. And they see the logic of this. They're in favor of personal freedom, and they're in favor of being free from governments, you know, taking control of not only, you know, how you live your life, but your actual physical corporal body. So they're totally understanding of where I'm coming from with this.
And they're supportive or what?
Well, yes, they're supportive, to the degree that they can be. I mean, they're not telling me, Rich, you're a nut, don't, get involved in this. That's not happening at all. And it's, from my viewpoint, theirs are the opinions that matter. So, and I know that this is right anyway, so.
Well, I'm glad that you did. I mean, just to give people kind of an understanding, I'm looking at the Reason Magazine article. I put it, linked it into today's archive. You go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, or Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.com, and you'll see this show, and I have the links to Rich and Famous's website and to the Reason article. And, it's fascinating that this is really an issue I think is going to come up more. And I think it should. And thanks, Rich, for bringing it up. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, Lunatic Fringe, I know you're out there. Are you in hiding? Well, we're not hiding here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, because it's no fun to hide. They wanted me to give out, make sure I get the phonetic of it. They call it bibty.com, bibty, B-Y-B-B-T-Y, bibty. I'm not sure that makes it any easier to remember, but it's because your body belongs to you. All right, just take the first letters of that. Yeah, so it's interesting. It's in its infancy. It's in its first stages. Somebody got off their butt and said, hey, how come I can't contract my own body parts? I'd like to, all you got to do is just, put a contract up. Say, I'm selling my kidney. Heck, I'm not even asking permission. I'm just going to go do it. Well, I bet you they have a law against some doctor. So, all right. I'll tell you what. You just go to Canada. Just go to Mexico. Take a little trip to Taiwan. And they give you a nice, room to stay in and 24/7 foot massages for a week. And here's $10,000. Have a nice day. And they say they go ahead and part out your body. It'd be $250,000. Heck, I bet there's somebody you got the right heart. He paid twice that just to get that. So, come on, man. This is, just more government stuff. And, really. Oh, no, that would be immoral. That would be bad. There ought to be laws. Laws to what? The law they get that they create a monopoly of this, they fund with tax dollars the actual procurement of taking, body parts from people and not giving any compensation, and your scientific registry of transplant recipients, SRTR. I bet these guys are, creating a database for somebody, and I'm not a beneficiary, So I'm just, okay. Well, we got that in there. I thought that was pretty interesting. One thing that I did want to go on, and I've been looking for someone that can explain this to me. Remember last week and the week before we were talking about the Bank of International Settlements and how they are they're taking – this is what I realize as I'm talking to Jack Gregson, our Freedom's Phoenix economic columnist and reporter, he keeps us up all kinds of goodies up there. And the one thing that I was interested in, I'm going, I want to understand what the heck has been going on with all these big, giant gold bullion transfers and so on. What's happened is people's wanting to take physical possession. That's what's going on. And it was kind of weird that you got the central banks and large banks, and all of a sudden the Bank of International Settlements starts coming up. And, a couple of years ago, I never even heard of them. They're like the central bank. It's like the bottom of the funnel. I'm going, all right. And I remember Renee Houlihan, a friend of mine, we were doing these signs. I've talked about this before, and I want to bring this up before I go to this clip with Max Kaiser. And he's talking to a guy named Ben Davies from Hind Capital out of London. And I've been listening to it, blah, 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 blah. But right now he's starting to get into this deal with the gold swaps and more. from the Bank of International Settlements getting involved in this thing. And I haven't even got to listen to it yet. I'm going to listen to it with you guys because I've been listening. Oh, they're talking about, all right, here we go. And I got saved up for you. I haven't had time to listen to it during the break, but I found this. It just happened today. But this is my concern. We're making signs. We do a lot of signs here during the Levolution. We're putting up all kinds of concepts and so on, and the Fed did it and whatever. And the one sign that we did, it was just a stencil thing, and it was very popular. A lot of people put it up, and it said, the Fed did it. And it had a dollar sign, and then next to it, it had an arrow going down. The Fed did it. Dollar went down. Okay, that's what they did. So they were making the signs. I go to Renee, and it was a bunch of women. There was like seven women that just happened to be a bunch of girls that happened to go that day with my wife. They're all making signs. So I came home. I just go, well, here's a video. So I just took all the women. Oh, who are you? And, you know, there's a lot of women. You know, good-looking women. That's a rarity in political activism. So I made sure I documented that. And I'm just talking as, oh, what are you making? Oh, the Fed did it. Oh, the Fed did it. What did the Fed do? Well, Renee is a talk show host also. She had a show here, you know, for a while, and she gave it up to another pastor that she supported. You know, but she did this show every day for 5 minutes. She would write just a headline kind of thing she did just to inject into the matrix. And she would go every day and do this show for the 5 minutes or prepare it and then email after I showed her how to do that. Then I'm going, you know, she understands. It's all about injection of the infection, the idea, the inception of an idea. I asked her, the Fed did it? What'd the Fed do? Fed did what? She goes, they printed money and bought gold with it. And it was, you know, light went off. I'm going, you know, how much simpler could you make this? And I am of the opinion, after thinking about that and talking to Jack about it on the air, all of a sudden it became clear to me. These banks, these countries, these central banks, these are all, they need cash, liquidity. They always use these words, quantitative easing. You know, it just means printing money. That's all that means. You know, monetizing the debt. It means the central bank just buying the debt from the U.S. Treasury and just printing money and say, you owe us, and oh, by the way, here's the money. I mean, they just say this stuff, and it don't mean nothing. It's just, we're printing money. Hyperinflation. Bernanke's helicopter is getting loaded up. They're going to do it again. They're $5 trillion. What are they going to do with all this money they're giving? What are they going to do with all this money? This is what I'm afraid is happening. The Bank International Settlements influences many countries and, of course, their central banks. So they go, and it's not even theirs, really. So they go, all right, you need some money, you need some cash? No problem. You know, you want some collateral. Got some collateral? You know what we're taking for collateral? Gold. Tell you what, you just give us the gold. We'll take it right here, okay? You know, we trust you, but, you know, we'll want to hold on to that collateral for you. And we'll give you, it's just collateral, small percentage. You know, so we'll give it 100 to 1, 20 to 1. Double it. I mean, how much has you got to do? You know, they already show that it's leveraged 100 to 1 of contracts on gold that really is in existence. Only 1% of all the gold they got contracts on is actually it's not in the ground. Pinky swear. Futures. Commodity. It's corn. We haven't grown it yet. You know, it hadn't been grown. So I'm going, you know, I'm feeling bad about this one. So I'm going, okay, what if I was the Uber Central Bank de la whatever, and I could get you the cash that you desperately need? I mean, you're, oh, gimme, 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 gimme. You know, we got to go one more election cycle, whatever it takes. So I'm going, all right, well, give me your gold, and I'll give you 20 times, you know, the value in this money that I just printed if you give me this much gold. Okay, deal. Is that what's going on? It's how you turn paper into gold. For who? Those that can just crank out the paper. I'm like, they'll put all kinds of fancy, fuzzy, little cutesy, shiny names on this thing. But in the end, the Fed did it. Or the big Fed, the Bank International Settlements. And what did they do? They printed money and they bought gold with it. Renee? You're a genius. Let's go ahead and go to Max Kaiser. He's talking to Ben Davies of Hind Capital out of London about this very issue.
Irina, and I want to keep this more on the economics. Now, the biggest story, the gold story the past week, has been the news that European commercial banks are reportedly engaged in gold swaps with the Bank of International Settlements. Okay, talk a little bit about who the BIS is and a little bit about this gold swap story, please.
To rewind slightly, you talked about that perhaps Brown had to sell the gold in order to meet growing shorts from swaps and leased gold. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said to that. I mean, I do find it interesting that the ECB then announced not long after the Bank of England's announcements to do its series of auctions. I believe there were 17 over the next 3 years or 4 years. I think 1999 to 2002. But the ECB, who probably has a legacy to the Bundesbank, who felt firsthand the Weimar Republic hyperinflation and understood the value of sound finance and gold as a consequence, that they came and proposed the CBGA, the Central Bank Gold Agreement, and obviously gold spiked on that. And I think that was trying to limit the sales. So I don't think every central bank is complicit. To move on to the BIS and the central banks, the BIS is the central bank to the central banks, and they have a mandate. They can do financial transactions with those central banks. They also can, if you look within their statute, they can transact within the commercial banking sector as well. So in regard to the BIS gold swaps, now, what is a swap? A swap is a transference of one asset for another. In this case, it is gold for foreign exchange reserves.
Okay, now we're going to hold on. We're going to reset that right there. What is a gold swap? What are they doing? You know, I'm going to replay that part right there because this is getting into the meat. You know, what are they doing? I don't know. I'm going to find out with you. I'm going to hold it up, and we're going to learn together. But I'm telling you, I smell a rat. And I've been smelling this for a couple of years. I'm going, whoa, turning paper into gold. It's the Midas touch. I bet you one of the banks called Midas. They got a guy in there, Uncle Midas. Who is he? We're going to find out.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
You know that even though we got bad news, I mean, just the fact that we even know what the news is like a ray of sunshine on what's happening. So, I give you guys a lot of, a lot of people do. But there's always with the positive waves, I feel good about the fact that we're able to even share. You know, when are we not allowed to complain anymore? Ooh, that's when it starts. You know, and it seems like we're getting closer. Let's go ahead and pick it up. And what we're doing is we have Max Keiser. He's an economist that he does a lot of stuff. I mean, it's amazing, you know, what you're able to accomplish if you just understand what's going on and who to ask. I've been looking for somebody to explain to me the Bank of International Settlements and how gold going to them is being done. And I couldn't think of anything more simple than, you know, these guys that are able to create money out of nothing, that they you know, just buy gold with it. Why not? I mean, that's what they're doing. You know, so I just want to know, here, I'll do this. Quantitative easing. You put that into a wiki search, and it comes up, and it tells you, blah, 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 blah. It's just when you got interest rates down to nothing, you know, they just print money out of nothing. They just make it, and they start buying government paper and corporate bonds from banks and financial institutions. They just create. And they said, using money, it has created ex nihilo. Ex nihilo, it's an Italian phrase, so you got to click on that's hyperlinked, and it goes, Latin phrase, ex nihilo means out of nothing. You know, they keep using all these words. I'm going, are you seriously? Quantitative easing, ex nihilo, well, you know you're getting screwed right there. So I'm like, all right, cool, cool, cool. That's what they want to do. We'll go ahead and go to Max Kaiser and his guest, Ben Davies, from Hine Capital out of London, see what they got to say about the Bank International settlements.
To move on to the BIS and the central banks, the BIS is the central bank to the central banks. And they have a mandate. They can do financial transactions with those central banks. They also can, if you look within their statute, they can transact within the commercial banking sector as well. So in regard to the BIS gold swaps, now what is a swap? A swap is a transference of one asset for another. In this case, it is gold for foreign exchange reserves. To all intents and purposes, it's not much different from a loan or a repo, a repurchase agreement. But typically, swaps occur from central bank to central bank, whereas a repo is from a commercial bank to a central bank. So in this case, it seems rather odd that you'd have a commercial bank giving gold on a swap basis to the BIS. What would be the purpose of that? Now, what got the imagination really firing for people is that obviously there's a lot of problems in Europe, and rumours were abound that perhaps there's in some way some liquidity provision for the central banks, and perhaps that's why the BIS was, you know, really wanted to come out and say, no, this is not a central bank swap, there's no issues with the central banks, and this is really just a commercial transaction. Well, the reality is no commercial bank has that much gold. They have very little gold on their balance sheets. When we talk about commercial banks, in this case, I suspect it's a bullion bank. So what I think has probably occurred is the commercial bank has just been the facilitator for the swap. I could go so far as to say that it's some new type of swap agreement. It could be some tripartite agreement whereby the gold is effectively transacted through a swap via the commercial bank to the BIS. What would actually occur is there would be no transference of gold, and the gold will remain within on the central bank's book, and it is accounted in that manner. Whereas at the same time, the BIS would hold it, but hold it within an unallocated account at the bullion bank. So there's a form of double accounting going on there. Why would they want to do that? I don't think it's a liquidity provision. 14 billion is not relevant. Possibly when the crisis first brewed with Greece, we were talking about 30 billion euros. Maybe that would have gone some way to help him. Maybe it was an ECB swap. I don't think that's the case. I think it signifies something more about the gold market itself. As we've talked about earlier, there is clearly a growing disconnect between the paper gold market and the physical gold market. And I would suggest that bullion banks are finding it difficult to provide the amount of physical gold to the market. You know, there's been a lot of allocated accounts initiated of late. So it is possible that central banks have effectively, for want of a better word, leased or provided gold to those bullion banks. And short term, it wouldn't cause prices to go down, but it would probably arrest prices rising, as we saw initially with the downdraft. But actually going forward, this to me is reminiscent from everything that happened in the gold pool 1965 to 68, when there was a two-tier market, Europe split away, and the US was trying to sell gold into the market to keep it at $35. This is very reminiscent. It's obviously different because it's not a fixed peg as then, and it's a free float now in theory. But I would suspect that there's a bit more to it than meets the eye.
All right, let me just summarize what you just said. You've got the Bank of International Settlements, the central banks around the world, and the commercial banks all operating together in this market. So you can't really call it a free market because there's wide-scale collusion. You've got the BIS accepting a swap or paper as a way to somehow make it easier for the accounting on the commercial bank side to take into consideration the fact that their balance sheets are falling apart in real time. And the net result would be similar to what we saw in the gold pool back, I guess, in the 60s, which is an attempt to keep the price down, which failed then and will probably fail now. Is that a fair summary?
It's a great synopsis. I don't think the commercial, just to finish up, I don't think the commercial banks' balance sheets are in fragile, but I think they have an issue with the gold side, yes.
All right. Ben Davies, thanks so much for being on the Kaiser Report.
Thanks very much for having me.
I am still confused. You know, what they're doing is Okay, well, you need this money. We'll hold it for you and put it here in this pool to kind of sort it and keep the price and manipulate that, you know, blah, blah, blah. What happens when they don't pay it back? They give them these credit swaps or these units of money. The IMF comes up with some new kind of whatever financial instrument they say has value, you know, blah, 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 blah. But what happens when you don't pay it back? I can't pay you back. Now what? Where's that gold go then? Now, this is, if these guys don't know, then who the heck knows? You know, they make their living on, you know, I am really having a hard time finding somebody that even under you. If you know somebody, you send me an email. You know, you just do producer at freedomsphoenix.com or Ernest at declareyourindependencewithernesthancock.com. You know, I mean, you send me an email and I'm all over it. I need to understand what's happening with all of the gold, because this is what is admitted to. This is what we know. The paper that is written on existing gold, you know, this is like, you know, you keep saying gold leasing. I'm going to lease you my gold. I'm going to let you borrow it. To what? Well, I have it. You know, I'm given like another agreement on the lease of the gold that I got, you know, that I have on lease, that I'm going to sell some paper on the gold that I lease from you, which is paper. And then they're going to do the same thing. It's just like fractional reserve banking. It's like, it's how they turn gold into paper. Well, somebody's going to convert the paper into gold. Sooner or later, somebody's going to do that somehow. There's going to be, everybody else is going to be left without a chair. Who is that? I don't know. If I got Bank International Settlement, you know, taking money, getting their fingers on, doing kind of, they're shipping to somewhere, I think it's really as simple as that. They're turning, you know, they print money and they turn paper into gold. At what rate? How much you got to give somebody for them to give you the gold? Well, what's it going to be worth? We've had J.P. Morgan and other banks have been, you know, accused in a lot of manipulation of this. And what basically goes down is this. Okay, China, you know, pulls the barge up to London. They say, you know, fork it over. I mean, literally, they say, fork it over. We're going to take it to Hong Kong, Shanghai, Beijing, whatever. We're gonna hold our own gold. Thank you very much. Load it up. I was just here a minute ago, and there have been times when people want large quantities that they offer them cash in excess of many percentiles more. 10%, 15%, 25%. They'll say, look, we'll give you, 25% above what the value of the spot on gold is right now and just give you the cash rather than fulfill the contract and giving you the actual physical gold. Because what they always do in these futures, they'll just roll over the contract. They go, okay, you know, instead of, you know, futures contract on, you know, June 2010, okay, then I take that contract and I'll put it in June 2011. You know, whatever. Well, some people are going, no, 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 no. And I saw this happening about 3 years ago, three, 4 years ago, is when Dubai, United Arab Emirates, opened up their own bourse, their own gold stock exchange trading commodity thing, whatever it was. And then immediately, $200 billion, people opened up with them, an account got it, and they said that we want to take physical possession. They went, you know, they didn't even anticipate that. They're like, wow, we just did this thing, and they already want to take possession. Right then, I knew it was over. Here we go. So now it's just deck chairs. You know, I don't know, are you the fiddle player? You know, go get yourself some, just out of principle, junk silver. You know, a dime that's 90% silver, you know, costs you about $1.40. You know, go get some, just so you say you did. You'll feel better. You're going to need it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.